Mics are hot.
Hot. Hallelujah.
Wow. Hello there, ladies and gentlemen, friends and rivals. My name is Jared, and with me is my high-soaring friend, Anna.
Hello.
We will be your hosts for the podcast. We are honored that you have joined us at our table. Here at the Game Table Podcast, we take a look at various board, card, and other tabletop games. We give an overview, provide our overly considered thoughts, all in an attempt to give you an idea of how well it would fit for you and your table. Today, we will be looking at Sky Team, designed by Luc Raymond, artwork created by Eric Hibbler and Adrian Rives, and published by Le Scorpion Masqué.
Sky Team is a two-player cooperative game where a pilot and a co-pilot are trying to successfully land a plane. You and your partner have slightly different roles, but are overall working together towards the same goal, against all the obstacles the game may throw at you and against the clock. And one more thing, no talking after you roll the dice. So, Jared.
Yeah?
We've played this game a number of times.
That's right.
And a number of times we have unfortunately crashed and killed everyone.
Fortunately, those two numbers are not the same.
Yes, we have landed the plane twice is what you're saying.
We've landed the plane a few times, yes.
Well, anyway, it made me wonder, what is the worst airline experience that you have ever had? Nixing the times that we have crashed our plane in this game.
This is like in real life.
In real life, yes.
Oh my. Honestly, I have had generally very good luck with airlines themselves. I don't have a horror story experience with planes themselves. However,
you've missed out on this whole cultural phenomenon,
I feel like,
by saying that.
I understand that I've excluded myself from a particular set of torture that is thrust upon people and they have no control over it. I mean, I have heard horror stories from a number of people and I can't relate. So I apologize all of you out there that I have not had a bad experience. However, I have created a terrible experience in the Los Angeles airport, LAX for short. I never want to step foot in that airport again because of how bad this experience was. So here I was. A wee little lad, freshly married, and we have
flown. You were an adult when you were married, correct?
That's true.
Okay, just wanted to double check that.
You know, Jared from 11 years ago feels like a really young person compared to who I am today, and I still have lots of room for growth.
That I did not marry a wee little lad because that's wrong.
All right, very good. There was no illegal activity in our marriage.
Oh, no.
Anyways, I had just flown across the country from Nashville to Los Angeles, and they made us go back through security. Now, we were going to Hawaii for our honeymoon. If you have not gone to Hawaii before, I think it's easier to invade Fort Knox than it is to get into this state, this part of the U.S. that treats itself like it's its own country.
They're very protective of their biome.
They are.
I would say, yes.
So LAX made us go back through security. I really, really, really had to go to the bathroom. So we get through security. I just stuff my plane ticket and my ID in my wallet, and we head for the bathroom. Now, the airport bathroom did not have the greatest of wall design. One of my pet peeves about America that I have grown up in my entire life.
No. Wow.
Why can't we create bathroom stalls with the walls that go from the floor to the ceiling? It's so simple. It creates so much peace of mind and privacy. there'd be so much less pedophilia and things stolen. I
don't know that pedophilia is directly related to the bathroom stall design.
I feel like there could be a study made that would disagree with that.
Okay, well.
Regardless.
You know, I was going to say earlier when you said you never had a bad airline experience that you're missing out on this whole, like, cocktail party, let's complain about our... Let's complain about things together experience. But I'm realizing that you have plenty to complain about.
I do.
Even so.
Yes.
So that's good. I'm feeling a little bit better for you and your cocktail party experiences.
Wow, I am prepared.
Yeah. Good job.
So because I was feeling very exposed in this bathroom, I took my ticket and my ID out of my pocket and I set it on top of the toilet paper stand. Well, next thing I know, I hear a little clang sound. I lift up my ticket and my license has fallen behind the little crack at the top of the toilet paper roll and it is now behind the toilet paper.
Your only source of identification?
That's right.
Oh my goodness.
As we're about to invade Hawaii to try and go relax on the beach. So I'm in this bathroom stall for at least 20 minutes, I think.
I was getting really worried about you.
With a very short layover. So I'm stressed out and I'm texting Anna to try and describe the chaos of this situation. I'm thinking about how I'm going to rip this whole thing off the wall because that's the only option.
That would have been faster.
Yeah. When Anna texts or calls or something and tells me that she has gotten a maintenance person who will come in and unlock the thing for me. He gave me a look like I'm the biggest idiot in the entire world. But I did get my license back.
I bet he has to do that
back.
Every day for somebody.
Yeah. Probably.
Don't feel bad.
I do. I felt like an idiot, and I was stressed to the max for that half hour. It was a terrible experience. But, again, no airline failures, so I guess I have that going for me. What about you, Anna?
Well, mine just so happened to be a series of airline failures, all in one fail swoop. And so I've got plenty of cocktail party fodder for should we ever be invited to one of those.
I was going to say, we don't go to those, so I'm not sure why we're...
But one day, if we get invited to one, we will have story. I will have a story, at least.
I also have a story.
I don't know. I feel like your story has a bit too much bathroom for a cocktail party. I don't know how much bathroom you're allowed to put in your stories for a cocktail party.
I kept that really clean.
It's true. Okay. Well, anyway, so my story happened in the Dallas airport. You see, I was 8 months pregnant with our first child, and Jared and I had gone to a board game convention in Dallas.
It was a great time.
It was. It was an incredible time. But I had had a lot of trouble on the, goodness, what, 12-hour drive?
Yeah, I guess so. I can't remember the exact amount of time. It was something like that.
It was like 10 to 12-hour
drive.
Yeah,
somewhere in there.
From Nashville to Dallas.
Yep.
And I had had a lot of trouble with that. Being 8 months pregnant, it was very uncomfortable. So my incredibly kind husband got me first-class plane tickets to fly home so I wouldn't be quite as uncomfortable, and he was going to drive the car home by himself instead. So I get to the airport and find out that he has upgraded me to first class to help me be more comfortable, and it was so incredibly sweet of him. And so we get on the first plane, and it is hot, which I know is normally the case that they don't really turn on that while they're airplanes are sitting on the runway. They don't necessarily like turn on the AC and everything, but we're talking Dallas in the middle of the summer. So I feel like there should have been some exception, but anyway, it's hot and they tell us there's been a delay, and the delay just so happens to go on for over 30 minutes. And
not
I'm
good.
Sitting there thinking that this has got to be most uncomfortable anybody's ever been in first class, and I need a drink of water or something. And then over the loudspeaker, we hear something that I think was probably not actually supposed to be put over the loudspeaker, because what we heard was fire in the right engine.
Oh, boy.
And then all of the lights in the plane went off.
Nice.
So pretty terrifying. Now you're in a pitch dark, really hot plane, and you don't know if it's just the Dallas heat or if it's the fire, the spreading from the right engine into your cabin.
Good news, though. Your plane is still on the ground.
My plane was still on the ground, so I guess it was good that they did not take off. But we did have to very quickly disembark and made our way down to another gate where we had another plane that supposedly did not have a fire. and we boarded that one. And then that one didn't work either. So then we had to disembark that one as well. And then we had to get on a third one. And this one actually worked.
Wow.
I know. I was actually kind of surprised at that point in time. And so third time's the charm. I did get to fly home. And it was probably still more comfortable than riding in a car for 10 hours, I would say. So
I'm trying to remember. Did I beat you home?
You were very close because I was texting you the whole time and you had dropped me off at the airport and then started driving.
Yeah.
And it was a multiple hour ordeal.
It was
like maybe 2.5 hours of me not being able to board a plane. So I feel very sorry for anybody trying to make connections. Luckily, I was flying straight from Dallas to Nashville. But yeah, I at least got very close to beating me home. It was kind of crazy. So there you go. That's mine.
Sweet. Awesome. All right, Anna. Well, I think we're going to jump into an overview of how we play this game, and then we'll discuss. How's that sound?
Sounds like a plan.
All right. Your mission, which you've already accepted because you find yourself flying a plane that's currently at an altitude of 6,000 feet and is steadily dropping. Descending. Your mission is to land the plane at the right speed with a level plane, with the landing gears and flaps deployed correctly, all while avoiding other planes, and of course, looking extremely cool, so all your passengers give you a massive round of applause at the end of the day. In SkyTeam, one player takes the role of the pilot, the other the co-pilot. Each player will receive some dice, a screen, and a board that will be placed between them. The board represents the plane itself and has slots for dice to be assigned to make adjustments as the plane comes in to land. These slots are split between the pilot and co-pilot's duties, and so the pilot cannot play one of their dice in one of the co-pilot's spaces, and vice versa. At the beginning of the round, players may discuss strategy before rolling the dice. Once the dice are rolled, however, there is no talking except to clarify game rules. Players take turns assigning dice. Each player must assign one of their dice to the axis slot, and one must be assigned to the speed slot by the end of the round. Other dice can be used to deploy landing gear, adjust the flaps, jump on the radio to tell other planes to get out of your way, apply the brakes, and most importantly, make coffee.
Definitely.
Once all the dice have been assigned to by both players, the player's altitude decreases by 1,000 feet, and the plane moves forward a number of spaces towards the airport based on the speed assigned by both players. After you have moved forward, if you have not crashed into another plane, overshot the runway, undershot the runway and crashed, or got stuck circling the airport in a holding pattern, you can move on to the next round. If you move forward and both the landing space and the airport space are aligned, and you've applied the brakes, and all the landing gear is deployed, and all the flaps are adjusted accordingly,
And your level,
then you win the game. Good job. You did your job. And that's the gist of how you will play a game of SkyTeam. Once you have established yourself, gotten a good feel for the game, played through the basic scenario at least a couple of times, and learned how to land the darn thing, there are all sorts of modules that can be added to change up the airport, different things that happen on your turn, different things that require different requirements. Wow, I said a lot of words there. And various things like that to keep the game feeling fresh. We are not going to go over each one of those modules right now, but there is a lot of game to unpack in this box. So let's head back over to the two top and discuss.
All right. Well, I will ask the first question to you, Jared, because I felt like this was a 20-minute game. I'm landing a plane. I sit down and I'm like, okay, cool. And there was that shock factor of, oh my goodness, I'm in the air and there's like a million details and I haven't gone to flight school. I don't know what I'm doing.
Yep.
It felt a little bit like rule overload at first. And so I was wondering how you felt about the ease of entry into this game.
It's an interesting question because I think more or less I had the gist down pretty quickly. Now, I think the complexity of that comes in that while I understood the rules, I didn't necessarily understand how they all work together and how to prioritize one over the other. I just knew that I could take dice A and put it in slot A, and I could take dice B and put it in dice or in slot B, and I had to do a couple of things, but outside of that, it was kind of up to me. And we got to the end of game one, and I think we neither one of us knew what we had just done from a strategy perspective.
I think we actually felt pretty good for a minute because I remember at the game one, we actually got all the way to the end and then crashed on the runway.
Yeah.
And we were like, oh, this is good. This is good. And then like just miserably failed at the end.
Yes.
And I just felt like I'd, you know, I don't know, let people down, murdered people. It was a pretty sad feeling.
We got through it though.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think there is, I don't want to say it, this is a difficult entry because the rules themselves are pretty simple. However, like I just explained in the how to play, there is a laundry list of a checklist to keep up with of you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this. If you've done any of those things, then you've lost. There is a little bit of, I guess I would say, fiddliness with understanding this is the last round. I mean, it's very clear, but for whatever reason, you and I had trouble every time being like, okay, this is the last round, right? Because this is here and this is here, but do we have one more round after this or is this it? We had to consult the rule book a lot for our first couple of plays.
Mostly on the first round thing, though, because you're right. For some reason...
Or the last round, you mean?
Yes, yeah, sorry. Yeah. Mostly on the last round, because it would get to that last slot, and you have the airport there, and your altitude says zero, which should be really self-explanatory. And for some reason, every time we were like, is this the last one, or do we have one more after this?
Well, and I think part of it is the rules for the speed changes a little bit, and I think that... is what kind of kept throwing us off. It's really not that difficult, though. Like, getting into this game is super easy, and we're going to talk about it in a minute, but you can kind of make this game what you want it to be as far as complexity. Like, if you just want to chuck some dice and let the chips fall where they will, that's fine. You're going to crash a lot, but at the same time, you can do that and play the game.
Yeah, I mean, if you're... I don't know, like somebody that doesn't have any empathy and doesn't care about killing your passengers.
Or
then...
maybe you just make the headcanon that you're in flight simulator school and you're not actually flying any people.
Oh, that's so much better. That would really help with my guilt complex. Thank you for suggesting that.
Sure. So that kind of segues into our next thought of balancing strategy versus chance. I think for me, Anna, in the base game, well, one... I will say this. I don't think either of us are very good at this game yet.
We're getting there.
We are getting there. I definitely felt like we learned something new after each play, which is cool because it really shows that there's a lot of game in the box. I think if you're not really, you can let it, again, like I just said, you can absolutely let it be a game of chance and just chuck some dice. You'll have some choices to make, but ultimately, if your dice fall bad, then it just kind of is what it is. But you can definitely find ways to manipulate the dice and to work. You have to be able to work together, but doing so, you have to learn how to communicate without talking. And we were talking through several different strategies. On the back of the main rule book, it gives some hints if you want that. But we were definitely talking it through as we went to learn how we could communicate with one another without actually talking.
Yeah.
So that those dice placements, it almost became kind of like when you were teaching me bridge, or we would talk about communicating.
That was my
bids.
Exact thought. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I mean, I don't know how many of our listeners have played bridge.
Or,
but
I mean, spades works the same way, right?
No, not the same way as bridge.
No, I know it's not the same, but like the general concept is there. Where your bid communicates something about your hand.
Yeah, but in bridge, your bid communicates so many things
right.
about your hand.
I didn't mean to bring out the purest bridge player in you. I was
you
really
just let me talk about bridge without having to like water it down here. It's fine. But yes, I had the exact same thought. Maybe by our fourth playthrough or something.
Uh-huh.
Where and we did have to. It was nice to be able to discuss between rounds because I could say things like, "Yeah, when I put a six die in that slot where you wanted something lower, I was trying to indicate that I didn't have anything lower and that this was all I had to work with or whatever." And there were a few other things like that where we were able to clarify, okay, doing things in this way, if I'm avoiding this one section, it means I don't have a die for that section. Maybe you can fill in that section.
Mm-hmm.
Or there's maybe a couple of the sections that y'all can play together. And there are a few sections that you have to play together every single time. So every single time you are both playing a die that tilts the plane and you're both playing a die that moves the plane forward. And so those dies need to balance in a certain way for the plane to do what both of you want it to do, but you can't talk about it. And so, yeah, so there was some definite learning how to read each other's die placement in order to figure out, okay, what are the dice that are still there and what are we working towards? Because you can talk about strategy before the round, but before the round is before you've rolled your dice. So for example, I remember one game we were saying, okay, we need to not move this round because we're too far ahead down the landing track for our altitude. And so immediately when we said we don't need to move this time, I looked at my dice and I realized my dice are way too high. Mm-hmm. It would be impossible for us to not move because I rolled too high of dice. So I immediately played one of my highest dice in the movement track, which was assigned to you, saying, okay, this isn't going to work this time. Don't build your whole strategy around this. Because yes, after we rolled the dice, the strategy that we talked about didn't work. And I was able to communicate that by my die placement.
And then I gave you a look like, what in the world?
Like, you idiot. You just messed up the whole plan.
What the heck?
No, I'm just kidding. You would never call me an idiot.
I would never do that.
No. But yeah, I agree that early on in the game, it felt like a game of chance. I think it was maybe our second game that we crashed after just one round.
Yeah.
Because we didn't roll a single die that let us clear another airplane out of our way. Uh-huh. And so we move forward and we crash into the airplane. And I remember after that play thinking, is this a game that happens? Is this a game where your hands are tied and you're just going to lose and there's nothing you can do about it? And as we've played more and more, I will say that that would be very rarely the case, that your hands would be completely tied and you couldn't do anything.
Right. I mean, even thinking back to that game, I think there were some things that we could have done differently to avoid that situation. Now, I think there are times where you're just going to get stuck, and there is a little bit of a push your luck element to this of, you know, you've got basically those six rounds. So in those six rounds, how are you managing what's right in front of you versus what's going on down the line? And so there is a little bit of a push your luck, like, do I deal with what's now or what's later, which will end up having consequences later on regardless. But most situations seem like there's a way to get out of it, especially if you're working well together.
Yeah, and the game has the ability to drink, to make coffee, like Jared was saying. And coffee is useful because it can let you slightly change a die result. And so if you do certain things like buffer yourself, like we learned, like, okay, if we just go ahead and make several coffees early on in the game, then those are available if you feel like you got yourself in a no-win situation later on in the game.
Right.
I think it was just, looking back, I don't know if we could have done anything different in that one round. It was just kind of the perfect storm, which, you know, would take any plane down, I guess.
That's true. It could,
yeah. Sometimes storms come up and there's just nothing planes can do about it. And that happened to us one time, but that does not seem like it would be a common occurrence the more that we've played the game.
But we definitely had to like wrestle with this game a little bit, because I think, I don't know that I was expecting this depth when I first opened the box. Because I opened it up, I saw the dice, I saw how we kind of, the general gist of how you play, and I'm like, okay, I think this will be fun. I'm not sure I'm getting where all the love is coming from. And after a few plays, I was still like, okay,
yeah,
I'm not sure I'm seeing it. But as we kept wrestling with it, you definitely, and you, I will say too, just from a balancing of strategy versus chance, adding some of the modules really adds another layer to this game.
Of strategy.
Yes. And it kind of, there's still a luck factor, but you are definitely being given more options or more of a focus to make the game both more difficult, but also more options to allow you to create the strategy that you want to.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I was the same as you. I remember we played, I think, three times the first night. And the next day we were like, hey, so what'd you think about that new game? And both of us kind of look and we were like, we actually don't know what to think about this yet. It was kind of hard to get, it wasn't hard to get a grasp on the rules or on how to play, but it was hard to get a feel for the game for some reason for us. I remember us saying, okay, who would like this game? because it's this interesting balance of a pretty light game. You can jump right in and play it. It's only going to take 20 minutes. You're rolling dice and you're putting them on. Seems really simple, but there's a depth to it that it took us a while to, I think, appreciate.
One thing I did really like, going back a little bit to the ease of entry, after getting a few plays under our belt, like we played tonight to kind of make sure we had a really good grasp on how we feel about it before we were reviewing it, we just busted it out and played. Like there was no, like we didn't need to look up rules. I didn't need to refresh myself on anything. Like it's, once you know, it's very straightforward.
Yeah.
Even the modules, like it took me, we broke out a new module tonight. We trained an intern and it took me 2 minutes to like go over that and then be like, okay, this is what we're doing for this particular module. And we're able to jump right in. So it definitely, once you've broken through that barrier, it is very accessible and very easy to jump into.
And for context, this is the third kind of day that we've played. We played a couple of times each time that we played. This is the third day that we've played that It felt like we could just jump right in.
That's right. Yeah, for sure. Okay, so we've kind of talked about the interaction between the two players. I think, again, I really like the almost learning this unspoken language with one another to really learn how you and this other person play together. I would be really curious, because like Ian and I haven't had a chance to play this together, or somebody else, right. You know, I would be really curious if the game would play differently if you were playing with a different partner, or if you would almost teach that partner basically the same way that you would teach the person you normally would play with. I don't know.
Yeah, because we did kind of learn it. I said, oh, the number that I play is really going to indicate this and this to you. And you said, oh, well, I would prefer you not just respond to the die that I set down, because if you already know you have one that matches, give me more information by putting something in a new place. And then we've got both sets of information. And so We did really strategize with each other about what our unspoken things meant. But I would also say, in speaking about interaction between the two players, we did not take advantage of the talking between rounds very much in the first game.
Especially at first, yeah.
Because it felt like, okay, you're just rolling your dice and it's this super straightforward thing. and then we you know, crashed a bunch of times in our flight simulator where we weren't killing anybody. And I'd say that just maybe even this last tonight that we played, we did a much better job of strategizing what we wanted to do in between rounds.
Yeah.
And I think that really helped. But we kind of didn't even think about that component and didn't practice that component our first few playthroughs.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Do you find this game to be difficult from a, not from an ease of entry, because we've talked about that and how it's pretty easy to jump into, but a difficult to win, I guess, is how you would put it.
Oh, definitely. I think it's challenging. I mean, we lost over half of the times that we've played.
Yep.
So I think there's challenge in it. But again, it's not something where the times that we lost, it was, we pushed our luck too far. We went too fast and we didn't have all of our green lights clicked in time. Or so, there were some things like that. It wasn't a difficulty like I'm sitting here trying to run all the strategies in my head and I can't figure out the strategy. It was just a, oh, well, darn, we came in too fast. Oh, darn, we did. And so, yeah, so it was difficult to win, but it wasn't difficult in terms of trying to learn the strategy, I would say.
Interesting, because I would push back on that a little bit and say that we had to learn several different strategies before we could figure out how to win. And we kind of learned new strategies each time. I think we didn't lose because of a lack of understanding of the game, if that's what you're trying to say.
No, I guess I'm more comparing it to very deep games.
Okay.
Where when you're strategizing, you're thinking four moves ahead.
Right.
And you're thinking how this component's going to interact with this component. And you're trying to keep all that in your head.
Yeah.
And it didn't feel like that level of strategy to me is what I'm trying to say.
No, I agree with that. And there's only so much you can do as far as planning ahead because you don't know what dice are going to come up.
Right.
But yeah, no, I agree. This game is difficult. We've played several games on just, so this is kind of going to segue into our question about price point here in a second, but this game has four difficulty modes And we stayed on the routine landing, which is their easiest mode. And it was not terribly easy.
No, I think we were three or four plays in before we won that one.
Yeah. And so anyways, I agree. It is a very difficult game. Maybe it was just for us. I don't know. But I think there's a lot of challenge in what they have set up here. And it never feels, well, not never. Most of the time, it does not feel like you lost because of bad dice rolls. Like there's, you could look back and be like, okay, I could have done this and this differently. And because of that, we could have had a different outcome here and here. And that might have let us win the game.
Yeah.
So.
And we did say that. We said, oh man, let's flip our switches sooner next time.
Yeah.
Let's make sure the runway's clearer next time. Let's not go so fast next time. It was easy to kind of see where we went wrong, which is what I mean about it not being a deep strategy game. There is strategy, yeah. But you're not hurting your head over it.
Absolutely. Completely agree. So with that said, price point is $30. You can get it on Amazon right now. Most of the online game stores are sold out because this game is new and it's flying off the shelves. It's really highly rated online. And so $30, do you think it's worth the value?
It is a rather small game. So when I would look at the box, I would not think a $30 game because I'm thinking a lot of our small two-player games are not $30. They're more like in the $20, $25 range.
Okay. Yeah.
But the components in it are well done.
Mm-hmm.
So you've each got a set of dice. You've each got a little tent so nobody can see your dice. You've got a board where things can slide over and slide up and slide down and turn. And so when you get it out and when you get out all of the scenarios that come with it, you realize there's a much bigger game inside this little box than I first thought when I was looking at it.
Yeah, because there's extra components underneath once you start pulling up the modules as well. I really appreciate the main board because it would be very easy to just give us a flat board and just play with that. But so when you open the box for the first time, there's actually a little bit of arts and crafts that you have to do because you're going to be folding the board in half to be able to create the little notches that the dice sit in. But that means that the dice are never moving if the table gets bumped or anything like that, which is really nice. And so it is a very high quality board. The little airplane pieces and the coffee tokens, all really nice, and the dice are nice, got a nice chunky feel to them. So yeah, I completely agree on the components. The replayability, which I kind of hinted at a minute ago, incredibly high. You have four difficulty modes. You have 8 modules in the rule book. You have 21 scenarios plus a QR code where they're already adding more scenarios. I scanned that tonight to check it out. There's an additional 4 scenarios already set up, plus they're going to be adding more. So from a price point, as far as the ability to get this game to the table, absolutely. And the scenarios that we've played so far, they all feel very different.
Yeah, definitely.
And several of those scenarios can be upped in difficulty to become even harder. So I think there's an absolute amount of replayability here. And I think that $30 is a steal for what you're getting in this game, especially wildly. Even for a dice chucker, I feel like you're getting quite a lot in this game.
You're getting a lot more than dice when you open up this game.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of components to it, a lot of replayability, like you were saying.
Right. Absolutely. So I definitely think it's a good buy at $30. If you're thinking about this as a game that you might get for someone for the holidays, I would jump on it quick because I think that print run's going to run out and it'll be next year before the next run comes through. Anna, does this game travel well?
Oh, 100%. Because you've got everything is kind of confined. Nothing's going to be rolling off the table because when you roll your hidden dice, they're in this little pocket.
Yep.
And when you're placing your dice, they're going in pre-cut out cardboard sections for the dice. When you slide over your switches, which by the way, then there's little green lights behind them. It's so fun. Then those stay in place as well. And so, yeah, you could bring this on an airplane. You could bring this in the car.
Yeah.
A little bouncing it and going to hurt it, which is kind of nice. And that's a plus of it being in a small box, too, is it'll pack well, travel well.
That would be very, I did not think about an airplane, but that would be super meta to do that.
So meta.
I was, my first thought was you could 100% take this to a bar or a restaurant while you're waiting for your food or drinks.
You say travel and I think car trip and you think bar. That's really hilarious.
But no, like I think it has, it's not a big table space. It's relatively small. And like, I mean, we just said you could play it on an airplane. So yeah, obviously you're getting the idea.
On one tray table in an airplane.
I think you would need both of them.
Not if you held your envelope in your lap.
Well, I guess I would use two tray tables.
Okay.
One for each set of screens and or one for each screen. And then one of you could hold on to the board.
The tray tables could hold the board. Yeah,
that's right. So, yeah. So I think between the $30 price point, plus the ability to play it pretty much anywhere, whether you're playing with a significant other or a friend or whatever, like I think it has lots of room. And it, like, again, it's very easy to pick up. So as I kind of gush over all the pros of this game, Anna, let's jump into our grading and final thoughts here. All right. Well, you're giving me a look like you're still thinking, so I'll go first.
Mm-hmm.
I think overall, I really like this game. It is weird because even after several plays, I still don't know that I know how to feel about it. Like, I want to come back to it and I want to play it more and I want to get better at it, but I'm not sure what I'm going to find at the end of the journey, if that makes sense. Like, will I feel fulfilled in playing this game once I feel like, okay, I'm playing on a high difficulty level. We've thrown in several modules. We worked through several scenarios. Do I still feel like I've gotten good value from an experience perspective out of this game? I don't know. Even after several playthroughs, I don't know, which is weird. Because, like, for example, we played a different new game the other night, and I knew by turn 4 that I loved this game, let alone the end of the game or multiple plays. And so it's just a very odd thing for me. We've spent a lot of this episode talking about things that we really like about this game. I think for me, the only thing I really don't like, I think, is the fact that when I think about flying an airplane, I know that the pilot and co-pilot are not sitting up there silently both hitting buttons, hoping that they're communicating correctly. I understand from the gameplay perspective why you need that, but I don't know. It kind of, for me, it kind of robs the experience a little bit. And it becomes less about flying a plane and more about solving a puzzle, which is fine. It's still enjoyable, but I don't have quite the feel that I'm flying an airplane that I could have. And so I think that's my only real gripe. I think the components are great. The amount of replayability is awesome. Ease of entry, fantastic. I love when a game has the ability to both be super casual and also go deeper for someone who wants that. That is definitely something that gives a wide range of for people, which I love. I didn't like the arts and crafts at the beginning, but by the time it was done and I saw the end product, I was very happy that they did that as far as the components go. So that I will throw that note in there.
You should have let me do it. I like arts and crafts.
Well, you were busy doing something else. And so I was like, all right, I think I can do this. It was within my level of, talents, I guess you would say.
Yeah. So do you have a grade for us then, or?
I think for now, I will give this game a B. I think it has the potential to be bumped to an A. I really don't think it'll go much lower than a B just because of the amount that it provides for what it is, but it has potential for an A.
I would agree with that. I was thinking maybe an 80 or so with the potential for it to go higher, because thinking that we have only played on one of the lowest levels, there are all these scenarios, there are all these other components, there's three other levels that we could play to, makes me feel like that we're going to continue to discover more and more strategy within this game as we go through. Because even whatever we're like 6 plays in or whatever we are right now, we've already discovered more strategies if we've been going through it. One thing that I struggled with is I wasn't sure who I would share this game with, because it wasn't a very easy game. I think somebody that was brand new to board gaming might get a little overwhelmed by all of the checklist of items that you have to keep track of. But I wondered if somebody that was a more intense board gamer wouldn't be as content with a game that's 20 minutes long and you're rolling dice. So that was an interesting question for me, is to think who would enjoy this game and who would I share this game with? I think, honestly, your suggestion of take it on an airplane trip, take it to a restaurant, that might be one of the best uses for this game, because it's a semi-light, semi-quick thing that you can do kind of as you're doing other stuff. And it wouldn't be a sit down and let's play board games today type of game. It would be a, hey, let's do this quick thing before we go on to this other thing type of game.
Sure. Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know that I had really considered that it fits with a certain group. I think because it's so, it has the range of casual to more strategic, I think it hits a wide range of people. I don't know that a heavy gamer is going to be really satisfied with this game. But anyone that's like from...
Unless they start on the hardest level and...
Yeah, but even then, I think, unless... I don't know. I think the dice chucking aspect is going to push that person away, because it is still a dice chucker. But anyone who like... I think even from, like we talked about with Ticket to Ride last week, from Ticket to Ride on up to a middleweight game, I think you could learn to really enjoy this. And I think there's something there for you in this game, depending on how deep you want to go with it. It is interesting, too, because being only a 20-minute game, I would expect to have more plays in of this game at this point. But I know that after each play, we like spent so much time just discussing it
trying
to wrap our minds around what had just happened.
Which is really probably a pro to the game.
Yeah.
That it brought discussion and strategy and what are we going to do with this game and what are we going to do next? So that's probably a pro to the game.
I really see this game sticking around, just because we want to explore it more.
Because afterwards you were like, so what'd you think? And I was like, I don't know that I know what to think. And you were like, oh, so you didn't like it? And I was like, no, I definitely want to play it again.
Yeah, no, that's
true. Which is an interesting, yeah. Now, in terms of when you're simulating something in a game, I always like to think, how much does it feel like what you're trying to simulate? Mm-hmm. So that's something I always like to think about when you're simulating something, like, hey, we're flying a plane together. You're pilot, I'm co-pilot. I was not as bothered by the not talking part. I thought that was an interesting component of, you've both got different jobs as the pilot, co-pilot, and you've got to be focusing on your jobs and kind of trusting the other person to do their job.
Right.
That's a little bit how I saw the not talking aspect of it.
That's fine.
The checklist of items of, I've got to make sure this is good and this is good and this is good and this is good and this is good in order for the plane to land safely, that really probably does feel like I'm piloting a plane.
Yes.
I'm making sure all the buttons are clicked and checking the instruments and making sure everything's all right. So that part really did feel like flying a plane, even though that part was the hardest part for me as maybe a less detail-oriented person. I was going over the checklist over and over and over again.
Yeah.
The one part to me that I wonder if it could be improved is, so each round you automatically descend. And so that's why it feels like we're fighting against the clock, because we've only got a certain amount of rounds. I think it would be interesting to have an actual fighting against the clock aspect to it. So, for example, each round can only take this number of minutes, for example, or not even minutes, but like 1 minute. Because I think that would make it feel more realistic to me, that the rounds aren't just moving down every round, but there's a time crunch aspect to it as well.
Well, Anna, interesting you mentioned that.
Did somebody already have this idea?
The designer, in fact.
Oh, what a smart designer.
One of the modules is real time. And so you set a timer on your phone, and you have to complete the round in that timer, and then it resets each round.
Well, I want to do that one next, because as I was playing it, I was like, I would feel so much more like I was flying a plane if I was also actually fighting real time.
Yeah.
So.
I agree.
Anyway, that's my 80, and partly because I would like to experience more of the game and see how I feel after that.
For sure. No, I think that's completely fair. Awesome. Well, hey, thank you all so much for joining us for this episode. We really appreciate you joining us, and if you have any feedback or want to give us your thoughts on the game, we would love to hear from you. Links to our socials are in the description. Additionally, we have a Discord. We would love for you to join. That link is also in our description as well, under that Linktree link, or just going directly to the Discord link.
Bye-bye.
Station, and tell us your thoughts. Additionally, we would absolutely appreciate 5-star reviews, following us on Instagram, and making sure you subscribe in your podcast player of choice so that you know when the next episode drops. These heroic actions are immensely helpful in growing this podcast. Special thanks to Angie Santiago for our cover art and to Anna Snyder, who made the music. Join us next week as Faith and I review My Little Scythe by Stonemaier Games. And in the meantime, may your dice rolls and your card draws be blessed, and your experiences at the table be ones to remember forever. Mics are hot, hallelujah, huh?
You were so impressed by that. That's what you call, like, ad lib. Yeah.
That's just what it is ad lib.
Yeah, that's what you call that. I mean, like stage quality.
Wow.
Ad lib is what you call that. So
professional level.
Professional level ad lib.
Goodness gracious.
All right, cool.